Well, welcome to today's podcast replay from the Killer Bee Studios. Let's go ahead and dive on in. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Killer Bee Studios. Can you guys hear us out there? Let's see some confetti. All right. Yes. Awesome. Well, you guys all, thank you guys for coming out. This is the grand opening for the Killer Bee Studios. I'm so excited you guys all got here.
Yes.
Did you guys get lost? Did anybody go to the old studio trying to figure out how to get to the new studio? But tonight we have a special guest. His name is Josh Lorich. Was anybody out here when Josh came before? Throw some confetti. If anybody. Okay. Yeah. I see a couple people out here. Yeah. Diener. Awesome. Okay. So Josh Lorich is the founder of 55 Promotion, and he'll be joining us a little bit later today to share part of his story growing up in the IBLP, I believe that's how you spell it, where he was taught that music is evil. Has anybody here ever heard that music is evil? Has anybody heard that before? Yeah. Okay. I see confetti. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Diener. Yep. I would love to know, you know, as we're getting ready to talk about this story tonight, this is part of Josh's personal story. So I would like to ask you this. Has anyone here ever watched the docuseries Shiny Happy People? Has anybody watched that? I think it's on. Oh, okay. Seals are throwing some confetti. Anybody else? Anybody else? No. Okay. All right. So it's on Amazon Prime. Mrs. Killerbee, you want to tell them a little bit about what that docuseries is about?
Yeah. So it talks about the kind of the behind the story type things about the Duggar family, which you might have heard about from 19 Kids and Counting, and their correlation, their affiliation, more like it, with the IBLP group. So it's like a religious group. And, you know, Bill Gothard, I think was his name, was the main leader of that. And it kind of talks about his teachings and the things that happened there. And so Brian and I were really affected by that documentary. And then Josh reached out and said that that's what he had grown up in. We were fascinated. So I can't wait to hear what he has to say about it.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear his story too. So with that, I would say, Arcane, can you go ahead and hit that guest intro and let's bring Josh out. You guys ran in with some confetti. Josh Lorich, come on out. Let's see. There he is. Hey, Josh.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
How you doing?
Hey, we can. I don't know where I'm supposed to go, so I'm just going to jump up onto this couch.
That's exactly right. Awesome. Am I in the right spot?
Hey, you are in the right spot. Your legs look a little weird, but yeah, I think you got it all.
Well, I'll just jump every once in a while.
See, was you just have a jump. I'm so jealous.
I did leg day too.
Oh, there we go.
And I'm not looking jacked right now, so I'm a little disappointed.
Me too, Josh.
Well, I have to say, like,
it's a glitch.
Was you hoping that you would have legs and the next time you showed up in here?
I've been working hard on it, man. I was hoping that they would
show
add
those
that.
Things off.
I put shorts on in my outfit and everything, and I'm pretty disappointed.
Well, you're looking good, man. Looks like you got a fresh cut on your head there, like you're fresh new dude. Right?
You know, finally, this is a virtual world, and I still chose to be bald. So,
there's a spot right back here that
don't
I can
pat
see.
Him on the head.
Josh
That's
is a really good friend of mine, you guys. This guy right here, if you guys saw him in real life, he'd be way taller than me in here. And he's got such a big heart, and he's a great, great person. And
I like seeing people I know out here.
Yeah,
you got Pete Desmond Adams out there in the crowd.
Yeah, ain't that awesome?
What up, homie?
Nice.
It's fun to see people I know. You know, I like it.
Well, I have to admit, okay, your first, you guys, listen, let me explain to you what Josh's first experience was like at the Killer Bee Studios. We had a hurricane coming through Florida. And so it's like, it's no wonder why we're having bugs. Like, it's just not normal to have you on without having
just
problems.
Bring trouble,
it's that homeschool stuff, right?
Just bringing judgment everywhere that I go.
When he came in the first time, I think we had like maybe 10, 15 minutes to show you some of the basics on controls and stuff. And as we come in, there's a hurricane hitting us where we're at. And as the hurricane's hitting us here in Florida, me as the host, we had no more electricity, so I was running off my cell phone internet. Then all of a sudden, transformers and towers started blowing up, and we lost cell phone service. And he was stuck in here with our co-host, which was new at stuff too, with somebody asking a question, and they couldn't get them out of the question box. We fixed that. And the person was asking somebody in the audience to be their meta boo. So
that was pretty great. So I was playing matchmaker, you know?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Pretty great.
But for those of you that don't know Josh, would you take about 30 seconds and just let people know a little bit about you and who you are?
Yeah, I run a radio promotion company called 55 Promotion. I get music played on Christian music radio stations all around the country. That's what I do for a living. I've got two little kids, 10-year-old son named Alex and a 7-year-old daughter named Abby. I've been married for 20 years. Got married when we were 11. So that's not true. But I was married young. So I met my wife when I was 15 years old, and we've been together ever since. And
oh my gosh.
I'm born and raised in Wisconsin. Spent about 9 years in Nashville, and I'm living in Milwaukee right now. And that's a little bit about me.
I wanted to bring Josh out because since he was one of our first guests, I'm like, man, I would love to have him back out. Plus, since the first one was a crazy explosion, hurricane, and we couldn't get anything recorded, I was like, it'd be great to have Josh out and see the new studio.
I said so many good things that night, and we didn't get saved.
No.
So hopefully.
Had to be here.
Hopefully this isn't bad. This could, nobody would know. We got hurricane from the first one.
So. We've got a lot of people here that wants to be married. They heard that you actually are licensed to marry people and make people metaboos and all that stuff. So
yeah, right. Now I don't know what we did, but something happened that night.
Something happened that night. It was magical. I don't know. I can't relate because I don't know what happened. But
yeah,
no. Josh, knowing your background, and it really surprised me when you were telling me a little bit about your story. When you told me that you were taught that music is evil, and some of the people here were in the audience, were like throwing confetti and raising their hands like, yeah, they've heard that too. So can you, I'm interested to see how this story goes. I would love for you. Can you take us back to those days and tell us some of your story? Like, take us back to that time.
Yeah. I'll tell you. I mean, you know, it's always an interesting point of conversation when you say you work in the music business, and then part of your story is that you grew up in a homeschool cult where music was evil. So, definitely like a perks everybody up part of the story. I will say this before I say like a lot about the story and like just my life and things like that, like growing up in a context, like I know you asked the question of, you know, whether people had heard about that documentary, Shiny Happy People or whatever. And that there's a lot of stuff that's really difficult in that whole organization, and a lot of things that are hard to process, and some really awful people, you know, in there. I think it's really important to also mention, like, though I grew up in that, my parents are awesome, and I don't hold any, you know, bitterness towards
them.
Awesome. They, you know, like all of us, man, we're doing the best we can out here. And they believe that what they were doing, raising us in that organization and homeschooling us and, you know, trying to protect us, that was their goal. It was trying to protect us from some of the just gnarly stuff that goes on in the world. And there's reasons why people fall into any type of thing, you know, but so like, I just, every time I talk about it, like, I don't ever want to put any type of shame on them. It's none of that, you know. They thought it was, there was good things to the whole thing. And there's, you know, like a lot of things, there's like, there can be good, and then you add like a little bit of extra made up stuff, it could be trouble, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of people didn't realize that was what was happening in the thick of it. And my parents have experienced the love and the grace of Jesus and are now the same people they were back then, and have found like actual true freedom from that type of living. And so that's pretty beautiful as well.
Oh, that's
so,
that's amazing. Beautiful. And, you know, I think you made a really good point there too, because I think that, you know, as parents, it's easy for us to look at our kids and they're like, they're a work in progress, you know, they're growing, but even the parents at the same time, we're growing up the same time as we're raising our kids. Like, like Arcane over here, Arcane, you're a homeschooler, right? You're a homeschooler.
Let's go.
Let's hear you on the mic. Tell us how your homeschool experience has been. I know you already graduated. He graduated last year.
I can't say too much because my teacher's here.
Here, hold on a second. Hold on. Let me see if I can cover your ears. I'm trying to cover your ears. Go ahead.
Okay. It was good. I'm not going to lie. It was good.
Yeah. but you know, just even with why thinking about it, you know, how old were we when you had Arcane, Mrs. Killerby?
24.
24. So we were still young. We were really young adults, learn how to raise a kid and everything. We've grown a lot too. So it's interesting to remember that, like, even us as parents, we're growing the same times our kids are growing. We're growing up with them, but they don't realize it. So that's really cool that you can look back and still, you know, this wasn't a negative thing for you and your parents. Nah. Like, that's, so I'm so glad that you shared that.
Yeah, it's super important. Yeah, I mean, like, the of what I remember, you know, I'm a little kid. There's a lot of stuff that happens that you don't even realize what it is, but watching that documentary and recognizing like some of the teaching that exists, like one of the biggest sort of overall principle is about behavior and behavior control. And like I said, you know, there's like a spirit that exists in the organization of protecting your family from things that might be bad, you know, from sex, drugs, and rock and roll. You know, a lot of people came up in the 70s and, you know, early 80s. And I was like, they had these rough stories, and then they might have found themselves with, you know, having an understanding of Jesus and becoming Christians, and then realizing like, oh man, I don't want anything to do with that. I got to keep my kids safe from all these horrible experiences. Sure. And so that's why some of this stuff becomes really appealing to people. There's also people who are very much, you know, just unhealthy type of folks, and maybe like low key or high key narcissists, and like to control things and like to make themselves look good to others. And that's true of so much of what we deal with in life, right? Just the idea that we're going along trying to look good or feel good or be right or be in control.
Yeah.
Super unhealthy stuff. And so that's how you fall into it. One of the things I just remember all the time when I was a little kid is that music was bad. Unless it was hymns or sung with choirs, then that was pure and proper and holy. Mm. And so I remember like hearing about Christian music in the like late 80s, early 90s going, this would be good. Like, this is about Jesus. That's what we're about in this world, right? Nope. Cause it has drums, and drums are demonic, and drums have very evil origins, and they make you shake your hips and things like that.
No,
which is how you
don't
get
have hips in here. Is that why we don't have hips in here?
No, like that's why this would be, we can listen to all the music we want. Nobody's going to get pregnant, you know? So, but I just remember that a lot as a kid. And then I also remember like when we came out of that, cause I started to go to a real school, with a class of 7 people when I was 15, and then a different church, because there's a whole part of how the kind of exiting out of that organization. Mm-hmm. And my parents losing their friend group and like people rejecting them because they decided to send us to a regular high school.
Right.
So that's really good. So like when you're going into like, so you started going into a, was it a public school and then a public high school?
No, it was a private Christian school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Private Christian school. Mm-hmm. So is this when you started questioning, or maybe was there some moments that, that made you start questioning or doubting that belief about music being evil? Or
there was
parents?
A lot of moments, because like I also had a lot of friends. So being 12, 13, 14, I played basketball in high school and had tons of friends in my neighborhood who went to regular schools, public schools, whatever. And so a couple of my friends were really into the music of the 60s and 70s. So I got to know all those bands, you know, Led Zeppelin and The Who and
those aren't evil at all.
I'm just joking. But like, fell in love with guitar, I started playing.
Led Zeppelin's got a good guitar player, man. And they got some crazy drummers. There had to be a lot of hip shaking of Led Zeppelin, I'm sure.
So much. I kept that pretty low key. My parents didn't know. But then the kids in my neighborhood growing up in Milwaukee were into West Coast gangster rap. And so I also listened to that all day while we played pool and smoked cigarettes. So like I had that sort of existence because it was early 90s. We just like left the house and didn't come back until the streetlights came on.
Yeah,
and so I just did all this type of stuff, and my parents didn't know anything about it. So I was just around a lot of music. I was around a lot of people who listened to music, and I was going, this is amazing. What is wrong with you people? And then I started thinking like, well, but if the music is about Jesus and that's what we're about, how is that bad? And I was like always a questioner as a kid. I was curious. Yeah. And so we would go to these things. And I also remember like they would teach you lots of things that you could find in the Bible, which are really good things. And all the rules and all of the like expectations that are listed out in Scripture and a lot of what Jesus is teaching is it exists in the book of Deuteronomy. It says like all of these instructions are so that it might go well for us. Like, keep my commandments and it might go well for you. This is like a constant theme of Scripture. It's not like keep these commandments because then you will be saved and go to heaven, because the reason we have all these rules and is to show us that we can't keep them and that we are in need of something. Mm-hmm. Something perfect, someone perfect who has kept all of them and fulfilled the law, who is actually Jesus. And so anyway, with all of that type of stuff, I would see things and read things and go, okay, I see that. That's in the Bible. Like, that's good. I see how that's beneficial for my life. I see what's going on here. And then there'd be like extra stuff that some dude came up with. And I'd be like, that's not in the book.
Yeah.
Like, aren't we following the book? And, you know, sometimes that would get me into trouble and, you know, my parents would be frustrated. And sometimes they'd be like, huh, it's not in the book. Interesting, you know, because we're all learning at the same time together, you know?
Yeah.
And so, and then there'd be things about, you know, like as we started to kind of fall out of that, you know, the amount of judgment and condemnation that my family felt because we decided to go a different route that was much better for us was really hard because I'm going, aren't we supposed to like love our neighbor as ourselves? And, you know, aren't we supposed to actually like be a community and like following these things together? Yeah. And like, just cause we go away from this one idea, we're out of this community and totally rejected and judged by people. It was a weird situation, you know? So, so even with the music stuff, I was like questioning it. I'm like, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. And so then when I met my high school youth pastor at my wife's, well, my girlfriend at the time, her church, it's funny. Like one of the other things is you're not allowed to date people and like they keep it real. Keep it like, woo, you know, basically you find somebody, you immediately are like, all right, cool, you're my person. And then when you're 18, you get married and you have no idea what to do with yourself. You're not even a whole person yet. And you go and get married. And so like the second I met my wife, Amy, we were 15 and I'm like, well, you're my person, you know? And so it's like right away, my parents are like, no, don't do that. You can't date. We can't do that. And then she introduced me to music through, her youth pastor. And I was just like, it blew my mind. Cause I'm hearing like, you know, all this rock music in the mid-90s that reminded me of Jesus and like told an amazing story of who he is. And it just like, it changed my life. And I was super drawn to it from the beginning. And so here I am now all these years later involved in the music industry. And I actually have several friends who are producers and songwriters who've written some of the biggest songs in the history of all of Christian music who grew up in the same little cult I grew up in and have found freedom from that. Yeah. So it's a pretty cool thing, but
who were some of the bands that you liked in the '90s? I wasn't a Christian yet in the '90s. So it's always interesting to me to hear about
like
it.
of the Christian music that was popping back then. So like the first band I went to see live was called Newsboys. And then there was a band that opened for them called Third Day. And this was like at the United Center in downtown Chicago. And so I got into all of that. And like DC Talk and Jars of Clay. Those were pretty popular bands back then.
Yeah.
And I because I loved it so much. There was eventually one point where my parents kind of just like, whatever, man, just don't listen to Tupac in our house. You know? And so they started to support what I was doing because they were like, Ice Cube and West Side Connection was a little bit too much for the house. And they finally realized like, all right, if you're going to like music, at least like, you know, Christian music. And so I would just go to the bookstore. There was like a Christian bookstore by our house. And I would show up every Tuesday and buy like, I don't know, $100 worth of music every Tuesday because I had a job and stuff. And we'd just bring the music home and listen to it. And I would read like in the, you used to be able to open it up and there'd be like a listing of who participated in making the album and wrote the songs. And I would read all these people and like, all right, who's that guy? Who's this guy? Who's this? You know, I was fascinated by it. And like a lot of these people that made the music that really changed me in that era of my life are people that are now my friends, business partners, colleagues, you know, so it's been pretty cool to be part of things like that. So.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you're enjoying this podcast, be sure to check out our links in the show notes, where you can join our private Discord community and find more fantastic resources and affiliate links. It's all just a click away.
So it's funny you bring that up because, first of all, Third Day was one of the first bands that really changed my life, too. I didn't, you know, come to be a Christian until I was in my 20s after Brian and I got married. But it's funny you brought that up about reading the CD insert. We were just talking about this. I have always, since I bought my first CD when I was 15, it was Alanis Morissette. I've always been a CD insert reader. Like I want to know everything.
Yeah.
And you know, it's really hard to find that information now. Like I was looking up the CD the other day and I was trying to find out who was singing backup for somebody and I could not find it.
Yeah.
And I was so shocked that like that information is not as readily available as it used to be.
Yeah, I think that that's something that I know will change at some point. A lot of artists now, when they put out an album, they'll, or even a song, they'll post to their like Instagram or whatever, like a credits page. So at least you get some information, but a lot of the streaming companies will have like a credits page as well, but it doesn't tell you who played the dope guitar part or like
it doesn't.
Who did the programming and like all the incredible, you know, synth work, or it doesn't tell you who the producer was necessarily. It's not every time, because you like literally as I'm a partner in a record company as well. And like we submit this long list of stuff to our distribution company of like who mixed it and who mastered it and all the different engineers and all the different people that worked on the project, the guitar player, the drummer, whatever. And they don't always show up on the back end.
They
hopefully one day they fix that, because it's really inspiring for people to like know who actually did the work.
It is.
To make their favorite songs, you know? So,
and I'll just make this quick, but I've actually been able to like, really make connections with people that I meet because I recognize their name from one of those. Yeah, exactly. That happened to me once where I was like, I was like, did your wife by any chance like write this song? And they're like, yeah, how'd you know that? It's always because I read everything, you know, but anyway,
That's it's such a great way to honor people. Like all of us want to, you know, deep down, like it's special when someone can recognize the work that you've done. It's it's awesome if the work you've done has made an impact on somebody out there.
Absolutely.
You know? And to know that and be able to have conversations with people, especially even like in this era where we have social media, you could be like following somebody that's played the drums on all your most favorite music.
Yes.
And actually have an interaction with them and maybe have a chance to like share with them why what they did mattered to you. And so there's a lot of inspiration that can happen, like, but if we don't know who actually made the music and what they're doing, and you know, it's a really tough thing. So hopefully they get that straightened out at some point.
I hope so.
So that's really interesting. Like, does anybody else here read the inserts of the CDs? Does anybody else read that? Like throw some confetti.
It's a lady hawk. Like, stuff.
Okay. Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah. Steve the Builder. Okay. Yeah. So people do. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of read like, so I have the vinyl records now, cause I collect all those. So I like to look at those, cause it's bigger. So at this age, it's nice to have more pictures. Right. I love that you shared that like third day, Mrs. Killer Bee knows, has a pretty big spot in my heart, because that's where I grew up. Well, if anybody here might be able to relate, I grew up independent, fundamental, missionary Baptist. So that probably tells you a lot right there. If you just try to remember all that. And, you know, the drums things was a big no. But this was interesting, though, for me. And, you know, I love my parents and all them. Like, and we just kind of, you know, God showed us a little bit different things. So we're in a different missions and stuff, mission field. Mm-hmm. But what's really cool is, well, not cool. This was confusing because we couldn't play drums in the church. And it really wasn't my dad that didn't want that. But you know, more of the church.
Right.
But we played in a country band and we played at bars and everything. And we played like White Lightning and stuff. And I'm like, I don't know how the world did they even let us come up here and play. I went to church one day at a church and I showed up. Okay. I was a rebel teenager. Okay. So just get that. This is not all right. If there's
You're
any kids in here,
adult.
You shouldn't do this. You're a rebel adult. Shouldn't do this. I remember I got up and I was like, oh, I got to go play bass at the church. And they're like, you can't wear that shirt. It was a Budweiser NASCAR shirt. I was like, it's a race car shirt. I'm wearing it. So I'm going to wear and play bass. Look at Paul. He's like throwing confetti with my Budweiser NASCAR shirt on. But going through all that, like I was at that stage where I was always taught that, you know, that type of Christian music was evil. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was all like the hymns and stuff was what we're best to be listening to. And I didn't grow up in like that background, like with the homeschooling and stuff, but somehow that got mixed in still. And which was very interesting, because I went to the first concert that I went to that was a CCM, I guess that would have been CCM. I don't know if third day would have been CCM back then, but
for sure.
That was their first concert. Was the first concert I went to was Third Day. And I remember standing in a line. It was at a church in Ohio. I think it was it Landmark Baptist Church? Is that what it was? And I remember standing in the line. There were so many people there. And guys, just to give you a picture, remember my background was these people, like, this is evil music. They're all in it for the money. It's not about Jesus and all this. And as I stood there, I saw people all tattooed up, mohawks, like about 3 feet tall, different colors. And I'm like standing there, like just really judging all of them mentally in my mind.
Of course.
And that's what I was thinking. I was like, man, these people are in trouble. You know, that's what I'm thinking. Mm. And I'm thinking, how can I fix them? I got to fix them, right? That's what I'm thinking inside. Yeah. And I can't trust them. Well, fast forward, we go to the concert. And as I'm in the concert and Third Day's playing, I watched those same people was like sitting right around me. And I watched them raising their hand, bawling, praising God. And I'm standing there like this the whole time with my arms crossed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. But then I thought, I started finally getting to the point. I know this was the Holy Spirit working on me. I'm like, God, what's wrong with me? Like, why can't I feel like that? Like, why isn't that for me? Why can't I be like that? And he told me, he's like, you got to just put your arms out. Let me in. You're blocking me. Let me in. And I did. And it changed my entire life for me when it comes to music. And I shared that with Mrs. Killer B because it was a game changer for me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, man, we were blocking what we thought. And just because of what people said, God's working in that music. And that was a big change for me. So I was really cool to hear that the Third Day thing with you two and like that.
Yeah.
We're like about the same age, I think. On a little side note, I'll tell you one of the things that when I started getting into more music, I listened to Metallica a lot too. I listened to a lot of heavy metal. I was a Led Zeppelin guy. Let's I had all go. The black. Yeah. I had all that, you know, so,
Metallica.
I remember, maybe this is just me. Let's see if anybody else throws confetti. If you guys can relate to this, let me know. Because you're going to have to be older. How many people here remember cassette tapes? Confetti?
Yeah,
okay, okay, cool. Okay, okay. My first cassette tape, I remember buying at a mall, and it was Metallica, Ride the Lightning. And I knew I had to hide it. I was like, I don't want nobody to see I got this. But I remember opening that thing up, and a new cassette tape had this smell that I just couldn't ever duplicate. It had this new smell. I don't know if anybody else, maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just, Paul. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Everybody's got it. Okay, cool. But so as we talk about all this, and I remember like I had friends, I had family members, not my immediate family, but other family members that would see those tapes and they would take them and they'd be like, that's of the devil. And they would throw it down the driveways and I'd be like, I would get
old fashioned
like
CD burning party. You know?
It's like they throw it down the sidewalk, and I'm like, "What?" And I remember there was a song in Metallica. I think it was called "Creeping Death," but one of the songs is actually it's all biblical. If you look at the words, I'm like, "Oh my gosh, this is from the Bible," which is very crazy when it comes to that.
Oh, there's a lot of bands that have made music through the years that they absolutely understand what's true. They know the scripture. It's funny, like even in our culture, like when we talk about like the way that you felt about all the tattooed people at the Third Day Christian Music concert. Like if I and my family saw me at one of my clients' concerts now with my sleeve on my, you know, my big tattoos on my, I can't see in this hoodie, you know, I have literally a tattoo, a full sleeve of skeletons, and it's creepy as hell. And even just saying that would be me in trouble back then. And like my tattoos, my earrings, my, you know, like even somehow they'd probably judge my bald head and my beard. No, Jesus had a beard. I'm sure of it. He probably had some hair. But like people are afraid of things they don't know. They're afraid of things they don't like. Even being in this room in this virtual world, there's people that judge this and think this is bad and you shouldn't be associated with that because there's things that happen in the metaverse that are gnarly. Well, no crap. There's things that happen everywhere that are gnarly. And I've found in my own life and then also through the wisdom I've gained from my therapist, because I grew up in a cult, so you have to have a therapist. Like people who go so hard against certain things usually have some demon in them, something in them that's ugly. So they feel better when they go hard against other people. So if you're going to protest against this group of people because they're so bad and we need to get them to fall in line with our morality, my guess is, my guy over here protesting has got something going on in his world that he's trying to mask, you know? And that's very common, I think, for a lot of people. And so, but when you're free, like, you don't have to be offended by anything. Like,
that's right.
You know, I'm a Christian. I am, by absolutely the mercy of God, have I found myself as a grown man, like, believing in the finished work of Jesus, that he gave his life on a cross 2000 years ago to pay a price for sin that I couldn't pay for myself. Like this is only by the mercy of God that I could believe this after the way I grew up. Yeah. And so like in that mindset, I don't need to be offended by someone's sin or behavior that's gnarly, because somebody who carries on in that way, the Apostle Paul says the things of God are foolishness to those who don't believe. And so why should I worry about getting them to follow in line with my morality or some moral code that is in the scripture, or maybe one that I've created in my own image? Yeah, I don't need to be offended by this. Like, the Holy Spirit, the work of God in this world is going to be the thing that makes somebody understand any of this anyways. And then the scripture says the kindness of God that leads us to repentance, which is a changed life, a turning from one way to another way. The kindness of God, not the judgment of God. So like I've learned, like I would be the guy that I would have been judged. You know, you would have judged me. And
yeah, also, totally. He would have been judged. That's the interesting.
Yeah, right. That's actually the thing. Yeah, we would have been judging each other.
Hey, probably. Cool. I mean, this
isn't
guy.
That the way it works? That's
guy.
The Christian way, right? Yeah. We judge each other.
And so one of the other thing I think is really important as we're talking about all this stuff and like this wild, ridiculous situation that I grew up in. This is not the Jesus that's written in the scriptures. None of this stuff. You see people, you know, protesting against groups of folks and, you know, getting super worked up about who somebody loves and who they have sex with and these things that, like, who cares? People that are going up against, like, even within the world of like the church, like just fighting against each other all the time and judging each other. And also like trying to create this moral code in our society and make sure that everybody's falling in line with our rules of Christianity. Like, that's not the Jesus that's in scripture. And if you're in this room and you're like mad about those kinds of people, like, let's go. I am too. But if you're mad about those kind of people and like writing off everybody who says they're a Christian because of those types of people, then I would just encourage you, like, if you have any curiosity, open the words of scripture and read what Jesus actually talks about and read who he is and read what the Bible actually teaches. Cause there's things in there like love your enemies. Enemies is a pretty, like, do you have enemies, Mr. Killer B? Probably. And then you also think about it and be like, I mean, my enemies in the world are like pretty low key. Like, no one's out here trying to take me out. You know, no one's kidnapped my family and held them for ransom and tried to kill me. No one's like, I don't have that level of enemies, but according to Jesus, I'm supposed to love those people. You know, like, is someone who believes different than me, is that an enemy? No. They just have different beliefs. I mean, I don't judge Dallas Cowboys fans, even though there's some problems with them, you know, Chicago Bears fans. I mean, garbage, but I don't judge them. They're just different.
You don't have people kidnapping your kids and stuff because you have that sleeve tattoo of the skeletons.
Well, I am very, I'm very scary looking. I've never been in a fight. So if, you know, these tattoos that I got and all this toughness and these jacked legs usually prevents me from ever having to hit anybody. So
if you even take it back to, I don't know if you guys remember, there was a shooting, I guess that was like probably in 2015 or 2016 here in Florida. And do you guys remember that shooting? It was at a bar. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep. Adams, you remember? Josh, you remember? Okay. Yep, oh, yeah. I see everybody out there raising their hands. I remember my son, Arcane. I was in my office and I was reading my Bible, and I was reading at the same time. I had just got done reading about Judas and about Jesus and them all coming to the table and sitting with him and what was about ready to go down. Jesus knowing that Judas was going to betray him and you know, have him killed and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, going through all this, Arcane came in and said, did you hear what happened? And everything was blown up on the news, and a lot of Christians were, you know, saying like, that's because it was, you know, it attacked them because it was like a gay bar and all this stuff. And I'm like, that's really sad, because what I told him, we sat down, I said, here's the thing that's really important for us to wrap our mind around. I was like, I want you to read the scripture here. Jesus, that people didn't agree with, his enemy, not that those people were an enemy. They're not our enemy. They're people. Like, God loves them. And just like he loves us. And what I told him was, like, it's interesting to see, like, Jesus sat knowing that this guy was going to have him killed. And he broke bread with him and he sat
still
with him.
Had a seat, yeah.
Still had a seat.
Well, the gospel is good news. That's what it is.
Yes, good that's news. Right. Amen. Good news.
Is that Jesus came and died for me, who broke all of God's laws. I messed it up. All the Ten Commandments, broke them all. I could give you a list. There's only 10, but broke them all. And he came for me and died for me while I was still his enemy, while I was a sinner, while I was completely against the things of God. And so that is like the most remarkable news. And the wild thing is, when I confess my belief in him, in the sacrifice of Jesus for me being enough and the only thing, I don't stop being a sinner. Like, I don't know about you, but I've done some sinning today. You know, I did some sinning yesterday. I'm going to do some sinning later tonight. I'm going to go drink beer at a Christian music concert tonight, actually. Right down the road from my office at Summerfest. It's the best festival ever. And one of my friends is playing tonight. But that's not sinning. That's a whole other issue in the Baptist world.
Which friend, but, by the way?
Lauren Daigle. She's going to be
at
Summerfest in Milwaukee.
Yeah, okay,
but like, so while I'm on my deathbed, I may have a lustful thought. I might be angry. I might say something I regret. Like, I'm going to die with sinful things in me. I have no hope without for the work of Jesus. I can't do this on my own. God said the standard is perfection. He said all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So that's why I love the message of Jesus, because he came here because I'm a mess. And so anybody that's running around, whether it's the cult I grew up in or anybody now that's saying, you have to clean yourself up. You got to get right. I hear that all the time. Like people who are going and fighting against each other on Facebook for things that people say and do that are different than them. Like, we can't get right. That's why he's had to come for us. So that's like, as much as I, you know, I can reflect on, you know, all the gnarly things in the past, and I can be really mad at the church today, and I can be really mad, I'm going to say, like, quote unquote Christians. Because these people that that perpetuate these teachings and these ideas, that's not the things of Jesus. And if you meet the real one, he changes you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Go ahead. You got a question or a thought you'd like to share? Thanks for joining us.
I have a thought. I'm one who's a lover of music too, and I wasn't necessarily, well, I guess I always had a thought as a Christian on when you're listening to music, you know, and being careful what kind of music you listen to. To some degree, I still do that, but I like all kinds of music. You know, you were talking about Metallica and stuff, but I, you know, I grew up listening to Earth, Wind & Fire, Heart, as a, Fleetwood Mac and stuff. So that's the kind of music I always liked and stuff. And I still listen to it today. The only thought I have in this situation is basically, you know, I'm sure it's fine to listen to what, any kind of music you want. I mean, there's a certain line that maybe we shouldn't cross as Christians, but at the same time, as long as God comes first in our lives, I don't think there's any problem with the music when you're talking about that you're listening to and stuff.
So, that's a really good thought.
And so God is number one and stuff. As long as the music doesn't overpower and become to the point that it becomes a god, that's where the problem comes in.
Well, and dude, let me offer this this thought kind of as a point to what you're saying, and piggyback off what you're saying, is like there's things that are wise for us to spend time like putting into our minds, right? There's things that are good. There's things that are beautiful. There's things that are pure. I can listen to, you know, an amazing guitar solo in a Metallica song and be like, that is beautiful. And I can also hear a lyric and go, whoa, that's gnarly. That's not healthy for my soul. I can watch a film and think, wow, that was incredible performance and acting, but then be like, yo, that's not wise, because there's some ugly stuff in this movie or whatever. Like, I can enjoy things, but there's wisdom mm-hmm. along the way yeah. and be like, you know, there's some shows I just am not going to watch. There's some, like, honestly, right. I grew up with like Tupac and Snoop and all these guys' music, and I love it. When those beats hit, I'm like, let's go. And then I'm like, whoo, this is not godly. This is not wise to be enjoying this, right? Yeah. So, like, you know, you make adjustments along the way, and that's the beauty Amen. Of life.
Amen.
But none of it condemns me, because I'm right. my sin is what already condemned me.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
You know, so I'm not like, oh man, now I've ruined it all because I listened to, you know, whatever right. song yeah. was just filthy. You know, I can listen to it and be like, that beat goes hard, but man, that's nasty. I don't want to.
Yeah. Listen. Well, I think that was a good point yeah. too that you guys point out. Lep, thank you for sharing it, because you know, there's songs that I like. I love like all different types of music, and but there's some songs I'll listen to. Like, there's one that I won't say the band, because I still like the band. I don't want to like, give them, like, it was really me. But the lyrics that was coming in was very negative. And I noticed myself becoming more negative, more touchy and aggravated oh, yeah. a lot easier because of what You're I was downloading influenced. Into myself. And I had to like mm-hmm. turn that off, because and it's not that the music itself was evil. It's just I was yeah. in a bad place and I wasn't listening to the right music to help me get out of that place. Right?
Music so, takes us places. Music's powerful. That's why I love it. But it's, I also know enough to know, like, that stuff's on purpose. People yeah. are trying to take us certain places. They are trying to impact how we think and
That's
like
a good point.
Shape the culture, music, sure. films, TV shows, podcasts, the news. There's all kinds of stuff out here that like,
oh, absolutely
exists to create things in our mind and take us to certain places that's not good. So you have to be Definitely. Aware. You have to be wise, you know,
absolutely about
what you put in yourself and how it's going to influence you. You know?
I'll just say super quick, just to speak to that point, is sometimes it's not even something that's inherently bad or evil, but just right. something that's not right for you in the moment, in the space where you're at.
And, completely.
You know,
yeah.
if you're yeah. having trouble in your marriage and you're hearing songs, they're talking about, you know, burn it to the ground, you know, throw all the stuff out the yard. It yeah. like takes you to a place where yeah. it's not healthy for you.
When yeah, we so get in arguments, like, I make sure all the playlists are clean and about how oh, all yeah. the songs are your husband's right and you know he's perfect. And,
oh, yeah.
All right, MetaVoice, yeah. go ahead. You got a question or a thought.
Well, I've got a lot of things going on up here, but let me see if I can single it down and narrow it down.
Okay.
You know, you were talking about music being impactful and stuff. And I grew up with my grandparents, and we went to church a lot. And so music was impactful. When I went to school, they were all these kids listening to all different types of music. And my grandpa wouldn't let me listen to the music they were listening to. So I listened to songs like, Ray Bolts, which I still remember one of the songs. Yeah. He's saying, I still remember all the lyrics of Thank You, where oh, he yeah. talks oh, about Lord. A story about going to heaven with someone and oh, them yeah. being thanked for all the stuff they did. And then oh, also yeah. a band named Creed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Creed. I loved Creed. And for a long time, I didn't even know it was a Christian band. I just thought it was a rock band. I was yeah. Yeah.
snuck it in there. Yeah.
Yep. And then there was New Song. I don't know if you ever heard of New Song.
Yeah, New Song. Yeah.
But when I was a kid, I grew up with New Song on their CD. Yeah. And I remember listening to all their songs on repeat. So, you know, I don't listen to a lot of them. What I used to, sometimes I still put them on when I get the song stuck in my head and I just need to listen to it. But music, entertainment, all that has so much to do with shaping our personalities and the way we grow, because it's about the things that we relate to, is the things that we grow in the path of. And so when we relate to music or entertainment, we grow within that path, like a flower grows within their own garden, the garden of that they relate to. So it defines our principles and defines who we do become later on and how we think. So I did want to just kind of share on that, because I was like, oh, I know this topic. There's something I can say. also, you know, Josh, thank you. It was Josh, right?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. It was Josh. Thank goodness. All right. So thank you so much for being here on this show and coming to Horizon.
I have two things to say. One thing, MetaVoice, will you just say a sentence to Josh as Mrs. Doubtfire? That's who he came as last week, and it delighted me to my very soul.
This is good.
Hello, dears, of course, you know, I can say just about anything. Earlier today, I did miss it out for your trivia for an entire hour, don't you know? And everyone had a good time, although there was a little bit of pesky little children that get up on stage. And I go, if you don't get off stage, dear, I'm going to turn you into a blueberry muffin. And they go off very quickly, don't you know?
I'm here for this. Very good.
Awesome. Thank you. Awesome. I'm here for you.
The other thing thank I you. Wanted to say is literally. I hold New Song so dear to my heart because I was a pretty new Christian and we went to, I think it was, what's it called? Winter Jam and heard New Song. I fell in love with her music, bought their CD, of course. I would go to the gym with my little MP3 player and I would just listen to their songs over and over and cry and cry. I thought, goodness, people see me here crying on the treadmill. They're going to think, you know, I hate to exercise, which I do. But all their lyrics just move me so much. I love New Song.
Vic, thanks for joining us. Thanks for joining us tonight.
It's all good. It's all good, my brother. Wait a minute. Okay, can you hear me?
We got you.
Hey, it's Joshua, right?
Josh, yeah.
Josh, let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Did you have any old people or elderly people or well-seasoned people, like we call it in my church? Did you have any individuals in your church that were strictly hymnal? Hymnals. That's all he wanted to hear.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So, here we go. I just want to know what pushback were you getting from the individuals who are well seasoned, considering you were focusing in on what the next generation was focused on, and it was not hymnals.
For sure.
I just got to come tell me, brother.
That's a great question. In the church that I grew up in, was all we could do. So I remember, I know all of those songs. We studied the old hymn writers, and I learned so much about their stories and like what they had gone through in their lives that led them to write these beautiful, rich lyrics about just literally straight out of scripture, like the doctrine just infused into these hymns was so beautiful. Yes. And a lot of the choruses and the melodies were just emotional, you know.
Yeah,
they were the songs of that era. So as a kid growing up, high school and college, I played in two bands that we were trying to be like Creed, so that's what that sounded like. So there you go. When I started playing music, and I played music in my youth group, and I played music in college and led worship, and our church was very conservative, even though it's not the cult church. It was the church my wife's family was going to. Right. But they were very conservative, and so we were introducing new choruses and new, more contemporary songs. And there were some people that had a real hard time with it. They didn't know my history, though, at 22 years old, that I actually knew these songs and thought so highly of them, you know. So it actually created a lot of interesting conversations, a lot of very good conversations, because you know, we talked a lot about preferences. Like, these are not things that are worth, they're not hills worth dying on. You know, these are things.
Sure.
One of my pastor at the time, he always used to say, and it's a quote, I can't remember who it's attributed to, but he said, in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, charity, and in all things, Jesus Christ. And so we would have that conversation in our church and be like, look, you like hymns. I get it. That's okay. I love them too. And we're going to sing them on Sunday, and we might sing them with a guitar, not an organ. And that's okay. We might sing some with a piano. That's okay. But then I'm going to teach you new choruses that are easy to sing and easy to remember. And that stick in your mind and remind you of true things that are beautiful, straight out of scripture, remind you of the gospel. And there's people today that are making that kind of music that I actually work with. Yeah. And that's even, so I'm actually trying to get people on the radio all over the country that have a rich tradition of hymns and make songs that are songs that we'll sing for 100 years. And so that's kind of like a full circle. I'm actually working with some of those songs now and trying to, hey, all this traditional music, like it's very me focused. Let's sing some of these deep songs about the truth of gospel, you know? I had a lot of interesting conversations back in the day about that.
Thank you, Josh.
It's always going to happen. Brother. Yeah, you're welcome. It's always going to happen in the church. You know, like we get stuck in our traditions and we get stuck in our ways. And like I can say, you know, this is how I like it. I grew up in a a group of people. It's probably the last 25 years in this movement that's happened in the church where, you know, trying to add more modern things and contemporary things and make the presentation of church more interesting and acceptable. And that's what we've done is we've gone so far to the other side. We've created a consumer mentality.
Sure. Exactly.
And that's really unhealthy. And so, like, there's going to be another, I would imagine, huge shift back to the other side of, like,
right,
wait a minute, should it be about us? Yeah. Right. Is this a country club or is this a church? Are we here to be entertained or be reminded of the finished work of Jesus and our place in this whole world, you know? So,
amen.
So good.
Amen.
It's always changing. We're always fighting against each other.
And I know there are some people in here that's doing church stuff in the metaverse. And I know that some of you guys probably get kicked back
y'all
too
understand.
About being here.
Yep.
Don't stop doing what you're doing because we know we've seen the impact it has on people's lives in here. And it's different, but God's moving in here too. And you guys are an important piece of that. So we got to give away a headset. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to pull the contest lever. And if the person whose name comes up on the board isn't in here, then we're going to pull it again. So we have five people on the list that's going to be up for winning this. After we choose it, I'm going to bring you guys up as a guest for a second. You can sit right here next to Josh for just a minute. And if you guys please, like, make sure you give him some confetti and stuff too. And hey, Arcane, if we find the winner, if the winner comes up, make sure you hit that guest music. Let's give him some party. Let's everybody throw some confetti. So let's go ahead and see who is the winner of the Oculus 2 headset.
Excited.
Here it goes. Okay. Drum roll, Mrs. Killer B.
I can't do that, remember?
Hey, we have Meta Voice. What? It's Meta Voice. Are you serious? Oh my gosh, Meta Voice. Okay. Oh, hold on. I got to bring you up. Hold on, Meta Voice. I
got
to give you permissions. I
got to
give you permissions. Oh my gosh. I cannot believe this. This is incredible.
You're muted.
You can talk all your trash up here.
I was muted for a good reason. I didn't want even myself to hear what I said. Actually, I was behind it, miming the entire time. I wasn't even speaking the words. I was how did
high five.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Oh my gosh. I could. Well, I was in my get to sit next to a celebrity. Okay, cool. I was in my head over there going, it's gonna be Dana. It's gonna be Dana. Why don't you be Dana? What? But this is so great.
I'm super excited for you, Meta Voice, because I know
well done.
I know that you've been wanting your wife can hear, so that's just awesome. I'm so happy that this
she
is gonna
friends.
Work out.
I mean, I need to see her.
She needs friends. I would love for you just take a couple minutes, just share like what is the Killer Bee Studios, the Killer Bee Studios, if I can even pronounce it right. What is it meant to you?
Yeah, the Killer Bee Studios to me has meant connection since the beginning. You have been connecting the outside world to this world, and you have been proving the formula that it can be done. Every time I come here, it's never hatred. It's never a bad word. It's never anything like that. It's always kindness. It's always wisdom. And it's always something to learn. And of course, those in here that might not be religious, it's not always a religious conversation. Plenty of times, it's about things that are real to us in our lives. This has been a great way to make very, I don't know how to say, spiritually connected friends and like-minded individuals of life itself. And so that is what this place is. And that's why I continue to do my show my support the way I do. Come on by every Thursday and commit to shoving people through this portal, whether they choose to or not. You should see I'm very forceful. They know I'm coming. And there's one, Steve the Builder. He's one of those that I shoved into the portal. Hi, Steve.
Sorry, Steve.
He's been here the whole time.
Steve's still hanging out. I like it.
Steve's still here.
He's still here.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah, this place is vastly important, and what you're doing is important.
Well, thank you so much, Meta Voice. We appreciate you. We appreciate all of you. Josh, what if out of everything we've talked about today, what would you hope we would walk away with today, if it's one thing?
That is a good question. You know, when I was talking about how I grew up a few weeks ago after this documentary came out, just talking through it with my therapist, as you do when you grew up in a cult. And she asked me, like, how did you get out of, like, how did you get out of that situation with the mindset that you have? And like I said, there's like a whole spiritual component where I just believe it's the mercy of God, you know, like for whatever reason. But I also know, and what I talked to her about and what I would say to you is I was a really curious person. I had lots of questions and things that didn't make sense or seemed like, huh, or even stuff like from the outside that were like, that does make sense. Why don't we do that? Or what's the,
yeah.
I was asked a lot of questions. I'm still that way now. And I think whether it's, we're talking about like spiritual things, you know, religious things, like who is God and what's my place in all of this? And is this stuff that, you know, I've been talking about tonight, is this stuff true? Like, you know, we wrestle with these things in life, you know, because you hear all kinds of different viewpoints and perspectives. Yeah. You know, we have lots of things that we have to face in business. We have things that we're they're going on in our culture, in the political world, which gag me. But there's curiosity changes a lot of things for us. And if you're curious, you can also be like, totally okay hearing someone that thinks a very different way than you. Like, why do you think that way? What is, how'd you come to that conclusion? You know, there's some people in our culture that are great at curiosity and fascinating to listen to. So they ask lots of questions. They listen to different people. They don't jump on others and judge them, you know? And so that's my thing. Like, well, even when it comes to, especially the stuff that I've been talking about, you know, who is Jesus? Is this stuff real? Am I really, am I a sinner? Like, what's the implication of that? If that's true, who is the stuff that Josh shares about, you know, why Jesus came and it came for me. Is this actually true? Like, you explore these things, you're going to find answers. You're going to find, you look at the scripture and you read about who the real Jesus is, not the one that the crazy people or the judgmental people or the angry people or the, you know, predatory type people have told you about, you know, you're going to find some answers if you're curious. And so that would be my thing, is like, explore, question, be curious, and just see where things lead you. And you're going to learn a lot. You're going to meet a lot of great people along the way that otherwise you maybe would have never talked to.
I love that.
And I think that that's a pretty cool thing. And the Bible says, if you ask and you seek, you seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. You know, these are things that are like, so like, cool. If I'm asking and I'm seeking and I'm knocking, what's going to happen? Is this stuff real? You'll find out pretty fast. So
that's good. I love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause I mean, I think that is a key. Like, it's okay to ask questions. It's actually important for us to ask questions, especially like with looking at those, like watching that docuseries and what you're sharing, Josh, asking the questions starts helping you find truth. But a lot of people are afraid to ask questions. Or if you're, I've dealt with people that I've asked questions and they felt threatened when I asked questions. That's a sign that something's not right. So,
And that's true in so many areas of our life, right? Like,
so many areas.
I can name things in the music business that if I raise questions about something, someone gets threatened. It might expose them. It might, you know, there might be a better way, but they haven't adapted to it. So they're afraid. You know, there's all these different things. And if your goal is to just keep looking good to others or be in control, you know, or feel good or whatever, you're going to lose so much opportunity. And so if you start asking questions and people get riled up about something, there's probably a reason why.
There's probably a reason why.
Further.
Well, thank you, Josh, for so much for joining us. MetaVoice, we'll get that Oculus headset sent out to you, man.
I'm sitting next to a winner.
A winner. Go ahead, Arcane. Go ahead and hit that outro music.
Thank you for coming.
Come on up, guys.
Joining us today at Killer Bee Studio.
Oh, yeah.
Remember,
it's been so fun. I love it.
Well, hey, thanks for tuning in to today's podcast episode.
If you loved today's episode, go ahead and hit the subscribe button or leave us a review.
Hey everyone, I want to take a second and invite you to join us live in the metaverse. You can join us live at the Killer Bee Studios. All you need is your very own VR headset. You can order an Oculus headset using the affiliate link in our show notes. Not only does it help support what we're doing here at Killer Bee, but Meta will also hook you up with some cool reward points. So be sure to check out the link in our show notes, and we hope to see you at our virtual studio.